The views expressed on the following program are the views of the show's host and do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station, their management, their donors, their underwriters, nor their seventh-born sons.
You are listening to KHUH LP 104.9 FM Seattle. It is time for the Thunderbolt. And at the Thunderbolt, we believe in just saying no to boring public affairs programming.
The Thunderbolt. Faster than a speeding bullet point. More powerful than multi-gigabyte bandwidth. Able to leap mixed metaphors in a single bound. Defending truth, justice, and the un-American way. Boldly going where no hack radio show has ever gone before.
The Thunderbolt airs every week right here on KHUH. Listen at your own risk. All right. Welcome to the Thunderbolt for May 14th, 2021. I have a rerun this week that originally aired on March 4th of 2016, back in the halcyon days of Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton. But the lessons are universal, and they are still relevant now. And so here we go. Enjoy.
Welcome to the Thunderbolt for March 4th, 2016. Let's start off this week's show with a series of alerts. First, we have a science nerd alert. For there has been a major advance in the battle for a unified field theory of everything. Physicists have come up with a new theory called M theory, or membrane theory, that evidently adds an 11th dimension to string theory's 10 dimensions, and evidently M theory thus encompasses string theory within it. Now, I have no freaking idea what all that means, but I do know enough about it to know that this is a very exciting development. Next, we have an alert from the healthcare front. Scientists had discovered the cause of schizophrenia. For it turns out that there is a portion of our brains that activates whenever we talk to ourselves inside our heads. And evidently, there is a gene that causes this part of the brain to activate without conscious control. And thus, schizophrenics start quite literally hearing voices inside their heads. They have not yet figured out how to cure schizophrenia, but they now have a specific target. And we also have an alert from the cosmos. For astronomers are positing the existence of a ninth planet way out in the Kuiper Belt beyond Pluto. They haven't found it yet, but they know it's there due to perturbations in the orbits of other celestial bodies in the neighborhood. And I'm thinking that we could use a new planet right about now. So next, we have a TPP alert. For now is the time for all good members of the 99% to educate yourself about the TPP and then to flood Congress with phone calls forcefully denouncing the TPP. Remember, the TPP needs to be approved by Congress. And in spite of both the Obamas and the Wall Street machine pulling out all stops to push this through, due to massive anti-BBB activism, the Congress critters are now running away from the TPP like it just developed a very serious case of halitosis. And it is no longer clear that Congress would approve of the TPP were they to vote on it right now. And this is especially true in the House of Representatives. Not a single presidential candidate who has over 5% in the polls has yet to publicly endorse the TPP. Though Hillary Clinton, it must be noted, was all for it before she was against it. So since our local Olympia representative is a corporate shill and a rubber stamp for Barack Obama's police state, then I would especially encourage Olympia voters to call Denny Heck, and I would encourage Olympia voters to call Denny Heck often. Remember, other than a massive cash donation or hiring a good lobbyist or a personal visit to their office, a phone call is the most effective method for a private citizen to influence their political representatives. Next, we have an official Thunderbolt Cretin alert. There are certain people who I suspect are deeply concerned about the popularity of Bernie Sanders. Many of these people are also the most powerful people in the world. Many of these people basically make their livings by overthrowing, quote, unfriendly governments. I suspect that these people will consider any government headed by Bernie Sanders to be such. Thus, I suspect that Mr. Sanders should watch his back if this continues, for if Bernie ever reaches a point wherein it looks like as if he might actually take this thing, imagine Bernie winning the California primary, for instance, and I suspect that those shadowy characters would have no hesitation in implementing the Robert F. Kennedy solution to the Bernie Sanders problem. Watch your back, Bernie. The Catholic Church is incredibly rich. The Catholic Church is the largest landowner on the planet, and they wield major political influence. They play all of the same nasty games that any other major political power plays, but they conduct their nastiness under the color of religion, which makes it even worse in my book. The financial shenanigans engaged in by the Vatican Bank over the centuries are well documented, and they are thoroughly reprehensible.
I thought that you were sent from heaven. You had me floating on a cloud. But tonight my sky is falling, and it's a long way down. It's a long way down.
Anyway, me saying anything good about a Catholic Pope is something of an historical event. But I must confess, that one of several good things that the current Pope is doing is attempting to clean up the Vatican Bank. Now, cleaning up corruption is always popular with the public, but always decidedly unpopular amongst corrupt people.
It's a long way down. Oh, so far down that it ain't got a bottom. Thought you had wings, but I guess you ain't got them. Fallen angel, don't look now. Ooh, it's a long way down.
Now, since corrupt people tend to wield all the power and pull all the strings and control all the bank books and blackmail information, and since they often have access to accomplished assassins, then they tend to present a formidable challenge to actually cleaning up corruption. Especially when it is pervasive and systematic and as long-term as that of the Vatican Bank. Thus, while being the Pope's economic czar may seem like a plum position, the current occupant of that position, one George Pell, is under serious firing for daring to shake up the existing status quo. Especially when he publicly announced that he had discovered hundreds of millions of euros in off-the-book accounts. Sounds like dirty deeds done dirt cheap to me. So if you happen to know how to translate political doublespeak into plain English, then it is sometimes useful to listen to politicians saying things. Otherwise, though, politicians' words mean absolutely nothing.
When a man's an empty kettle, he should be on his mettle, and yet I'm torn apart. Just because I'm presuming that I could be kinda human if I only had a heart. I'd be tender, I'd be gentle, and awful sentimental regarding love and art. I'd be friends with the sparrows and the boy who shoots the arrows.
A politician,
if I only had a heart,
is a chameleon.
Picture me.
They will say whatever they think you want to hear. Then they will do whatever their corporate paymaster tells them to do. They constantly have their fingers in the wind, ready to jump in whatever direction they sense the campaign cash or the voters lie.
Jealousy, devotion.
And for this reason, I sometimes criticize Democracy Now for playing so many clips of politicians saying things.
If I only had a heart.
In the 3+ years that I have been recording Thunderbolts, I have myself played clips of politicians saying things exactly twice. I once played a clip of Donald Rumsfeld riffing on his knowing what we know and not knowing what we don't know spiel, and I did that only so I could describe the complete cognitive dissonance brought about by hearing such an incredibly vile war criminal so perfectly encapsulating my own personal philosophy of life. The second instance of my playing a clip of a politician saying things was when I played a 4-minute clip of Barack Obama making campaign promises during his 2008 election campaign. And I only did that because Mr. Obama not only subsequently broke every single promise he makes during the course of this 4-minute clip, but in most cases, he did the complete polar opposite of what he promised in 2008. Now, I mention all of this because I am now about to make a third exception. Though the way this election's going, it probably won't be the last. Hillary Clinton played a quote that I find quite Thunderbolt worthy.
I was very flattered when Henry Kissinger said I ran the State Department better than anybody had run it in a long time.
That was an audio recreation of the sound of my head exploding. I must confess that, as accustomed as I am to politicians saying insane things, to have Mrs. Clinton spend an hour trying to burnish her, quote, progressive cred, and then to go right from that directly to boasting of an endorsement from one of the most heinous war criminals of the 20th century, Henry freaking Kissinger? Are you freaking kidding me? Is Hillary Clinton really that profoundly tone deaf? Yep. The looking glass quality to this election truly took a great leap forward in my mind when I heard Hillary Clinton say that. Hillary Clinton was actually trying to spin the fact that Barack Obama is a war criminal in a positive light. Wow. In addition, Mrs. Clinton pointed out the fact that Barack Obama took more money from Wall Street than any other Democrat ever. Now, I have been screaming about the fact that Barack Obama is a wholly owned subsidiary of the Wall Street war machine at the top of my lungs for almost exactly 8 years now. And I have been feeling as if I were yelling into a vacuum the entire time. Even as Mr. Obama far exceeded my most dire predictions over the years, the big blind American liberal kept their rose-colored glasses firmly in place. And now Hillary Clinton thinks that she can ride to the White House on Mr. Obama's coattails. After my screaming into a vacuum for 8 years, Mrs. Clinton just managed to inform many millions of Americans of the fact that their president is a tool of Wall Street simply by saying that during a debate on the television machine. Wow. Thank you, Mrs. Clinton. Hillary Clinton evidently expects America to believe that Wall Street pumps hundreds of millions of dollars into political campaigns with no agenda other than fulfilling their civic duty. Hillary Clinton evidently expects America to believe that this torrent of cash has absolutely no influence upon the decisions that our politicians make. Wow. Is there still anybody in this world that actually believes that? And meanwhile, the bizarre looking glass reality into which we are descending just got even wackier. For now, the Republicans are complaining that Barack Obama is not murdering enough civilians. Nah. So first, we had a, quote, journalist named Hugh Hewitt, who is insisting that the ability to order the mass murder of civilians is a requirement for a presidential hopeful, as opposed to a reason for a lengthy prison sentence. Now we have Marco Rubio insisting that he would carpet bomb Syria. instead of being arrested for conspiracy to commit mass murder, he is being seriously considered as a potential president of the United States. Wow. Evidently, war crimes have become official American policy.
Hoo-hoo. So I pride myself on my political acumen and upon my ability to intuit hidden political agendas. As Thunderbolt listeners can attest, my predictions about politicians and political events over the years have almost always proven to be spot on. When it comes to predicting the actions of the American voter, though, not so much. Amongst my more famous predictions concerning American voters was in 1980, when I predicted that Americans would never elect a B-grade movie actor that they could go watch on the TV machine talking to chimpanzees. And under the theory that no one that voted for Al Gore in 2000 would be likely to switch their votes to Bush, while a lot of Bush voters were likely to be very disenchanted with Georgie's performance. And since, in addition, Al Gore had actually won more votes than George W. Bush in 2000, then I firmly predicted that George W. Bush would never win election in 2004. True, Mr. Bush stole that election. In fact, he stole both of his elections. But he had to get enough actual votes in order that he could steal it in a credible manner. And considering his performance, I find the fact that he could even still do that to be utterly amazing. And in that same vein, not too long ago, I predicted that Donald Trump would be a flash in the pan, and that Jeb Bush would probably end up as the Republican nominee facing Hillary Clinton. David K. Johnston is, in fact, the only observer that I know of who predicted that Trump would be a major factor in the Republican primary, and Mr. Johnston even predicted that Trump might even win it. Mr. Johnston is evidently much more intuitive with the voting Republican than I am, and Mr. Johnston also agrees with me that a Trump nomination would mean the end of the Republican Party as any kind of viable entity for the foreseeable future, and that thus all good leftists should do everything that they can to assure that Mr. Trump wins that nomination. I've been saying it for years, kids. The Republicans are toast. Now, we need to take down the Democrats. And in more election news, Hillary Clinton has already pulled the sexist card. Excuse me, Mrs. Clinton, but your desperation is showing. For when Bernie Sanders accused Mrs. Clinton of being a shill for Wall Street, she said that she couldn't be part of the establishment because she is a woman.
Don't stop the rhythm, dance my belly dancer. No group, no move, too bad. Don't stop the music, please, my belly dancer. I want your love, your love. Don't stop your moving, move, my belly dancer. No group, no move, no inspiration. Don't stop the music, please, my belly dancer. I want your love, your love.
She then accused Mr. Sanders of smearing her by pointing out the irrefutable fact that Mrs. Clinton has received and is currently receiving barrels full of moolah from Wall Street.
Don't stop the groovy, don't stop the music, my belly dancer, they kiss somebody.
Mrs. Clinton accused Mr. Sanders of smearing her, even though I believe that a smear requires that someone say something that is not true about the allegedly smeared person.
make you deep, baby. You see where I'll be.
Mrs. Clinton challenged Mr. Sanders to provide one instance where she changed a vote as a result of a campaign contribution. Well, it's funny she should say that, because, of course, here in the Thunderbolt, I have been documenting repeated and outrageous examples of Mrs. Clinton doing just that for many years now. And as far as accusing Mrs. Clinton of adjusting her vote depending upon donations, Mr. Sanders has yet to even mention Mrs. Clinton's true source of campaign cash, though it is not legally considered to be associated with her political fundraising. And that would be the Clinton Foundation. For the monkeys, yes, kids, the infamous Clinton Foundation, that great cesspool and grand bazaar of influence battling, your one-stop shop for people like Saudi Arabian sheiks, foreign oil companies, foreign mining companies, CEOs of major drug companies, and many, many others. Would you like to purchase influence with the Clinton machine? Well, I'm here to tell you, kids, that you too can make a massive contribution to the Clinton Foundation and then stand amazed as you watch Mrs. Clinton announcing a complete reversal on a policy decision that is highly favorable to your cause. And you need not even fear any legal repercussions. Even though all of this is highly illegal and totally unethical, under our new normal, the only way anyone will ever be prosecuted for anything is if they were to become a whistleblower.
And we're going to take a quick station break now. The Thunderbolt will be back in just a minute. The views expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect the views of anyone else associated with this radio station.
Patty cake with the four notes.
I was once listening to a right-wing shock jock on the radio when I heard him say this. I went into this bathroom, and there were three really scary guys in there. I mean, they were white, but they were still really scary. Well, I would highly recommend that Thunderbolt listeners watch the latest Democracy Now! Interview with Ta-Nehisi Coates. Coates is C-O-A-T-E-S. Mr. Coates is a brilliant, articulate, and passionate yet calm observer of racism in America, and he is absolutely not threatening or scary. I mean, he's black, but he's really not threatening or scary. And if you think right-wingers' heads were exploding over a black president, what do you think they're going to say if we elect Bernie Sanders as the first Jewish president? Well, scoop-a-da-rop-bop-shooby-dooby-doo. Now, I personally think the Thunderbolt is progressing very nicely this week, but regular listeners know what is missing. We have yet to hear from the toothless old grandpa. So let's raise a few gray hairs on the back of a few wrinkled necks and give a big Thunderbolt cheer for the toothless old grandpa. Yippee. So you managed to surprise us every week, Grandpa. What do you got for us this week?
Well, son, I think I'm going to take on a little more lighthearted subject this week and talk about some war crimes.
Well, that just sounds like a ton of fun. It's all yours, Grandpa. Take it away.
Why, it would be my very great pleasure. Well, the United States is far from the only regime committing war crimes these days. pretty much every imperialist power and virtually every power defending themselves from the imperialist powers on mowing down civilians and non-combatants alike, as if civilians and non-combatants are going out of style. For instance, the United Nations just issued a report accusing both pro-government and anti-government forces in Syria of committing a numerous number and a wide variety of truly heinous war crimes. But under our new normal, it would actually be news these days if they were not committing heinous war crimes. Now first, keep in mind that trying to divide the various combatants in Syria into both pro-government and anti-government forces, quote, vastly oversimplifies what is happening in Syria right now. And as has been thoroughly documented here in the Thunderbolt, there are actually about 8 different sides in the Syrian madness, and the alliances are not always clear. Part of the reason for that, because those alliances tend to be ever-shifting and ever-changing. For instance, according to what American officials say, the central target of American forces in Syria is ISIS. But according to what they actually do, their central target in Syria is actually Bashar al-Assad. And frankly, the Americans are currently not doing the slightest doodly of any sort of squall about ISIS. In fact, all of the various forces and factions currently operating in Syria, Iran, Turkey, United States, Russia, the Syrian government itself, et al., all of these various combatants except ISIS itself claim to be battling ISIS. But actually, all of them are so busy attacking various proxies who are acting under the orders of God knows who, that is operating from God knows where. All of this has resulted in a situation wherein no one is actually attacking ISIS. Yes, kids, here we go again. After so many spectacular military successes in the Middle East over the last few decades, your beloved government is about to bring democracy to Syria. Yes, kids, even after we stopped him in his tracks a couple of years ago when he tried to send in the troops to bring about, quote, regime change in Syria, the old bomber has finally managed to sneak some troops into Syria through the back door. Yippee! So what does this remind you of? More American troops means the mass production of more Middle Eastern terrorists. More Middle Eastern terrorists means more fodder for instilling terror into the hearts of the American public. More terror instilled into the hearts of the American public means more profit for Boeing and GE. More profit for Boeing and GE means more influence for the Wall Street war machine and Middle Eastern affairs. So do you understand now?
Yes, I wish I did not, but I'm afraid that I do. I actually have a Middle Eastern postscript to add to all this.
For another demonstration of that unique American genius, for matters of foreign policy, it turns out that yet another major problem with the Afghani army, yes, that very same Afghani army that so many of our American tax dollars went toward arming and training, yet another serious problem with the highly lauded and loudly applauded Afghani army, as it turns out, their army is made up largely of ghost soldiers. Now make no mistake, these ghost soldiers are paid very well, largely with American tax dollars. And they are paid to defend Afghanistan from all enemies, foreign and domestic. The problem is that these ghost soldiers don't actually exist anywhere except on paper. Their pay is evidently largely going into the pockets of corrupt army officers. And these ghost soldiers are proving to be of highly limited utility when the Taliban comes rolling into town. Though it must be said that at least the ghost soldiers do not throw down all their weapons for the Taliban to find before they run away. So I guess that's not really a war crime so much as a crime of war. Most Americans know from heartbreaking experience that lead poisoning is no joke. They also know that there is no safe level of lead. Not only does any measurable amount of lead in your system cause measurable damage, but it also causes an increasingly wide variety of truly horrendous damage the more that you ingest. So most Americans know all of that, but I just learned something that has totally blown my mind that I did not know. New studies are showing that lead poisoning also destroys the part of the brain responsible for impulse control, and that this leads directly to increases in violent behavior. As part of their evidence, they presented the fact that from the 1950s to the 1970s, there was lead in our gasoline, and there was lead in our house paint, and that about 20 years after they started saturating our environment with lead, there was a massive increase in violent crime. Then, about 20 years after they took the lead out of our gasoline and house paint, and after they had remediated the homes of everyone except poor black people, the violent crime rate nosedived. Yes, correlation is not necessarily causation, because sometimes correlation is causation. And the authors of this study claim that they have a ton of other evidence to go with this correlation. So this could be big. It is also currently relevant because that makes this Flint water thing into a BFD. That's a big fucking deal for those of you who have yet to learn to speak text. The list is looking nastier and nastier the more information that emerges. For instance, it turns out that white people in Genesee County continue to get their water from the Detroit water system. It was only the black people who were poisoned by their own government. And in addition, it turns out that prisoners in the local jails were forced to drink the water up until late January, long after officials knew about the lead in the water. And even then, the inmates were only given 24 ounces of bottled water per day, which represents only half of the daily recommended intake of water for a typical adult human. There are now serious people calling for serious jail time for whoever is responsible for all of this. This is an almost textbook example of the machine's mindset concerning what they deem to be disposable people. Well, as far as I'm concerned, any mindset that even allows the concept of disposable people to even exist is completely unacceptable.
Especially when it is found in public officials.
And now it is time to get to work. All right. So that's it for the news and commentary. Now we're going to fill out the rest of the hour with some music. This is Utah Phillips.
That's 50s, 60s, 70s, 90s, that whole idea of decade packages. Things don't happen that way. The Vietnam War heated up in 1965 and ended in 1975. Well, you know, what's that got to do with decades? No, that packaging of time is a journalistic convenience that they use to trivialize and to dismiss important events and important ideas. I defy that. Time is an enormous long river. Important events and important ideas. Time is an enormous long river. Time is an enormous long river. Important events and important ideas. Time is an enormous long river, and I'm standing in it just as you're standing in it. My elders were the tributaries, and everything they thought, and every struggle they went through, and everything they gave their lives to, and every song they created, and every poem that they laid down flows down to me. And if I take the time to ask, and if I take the time to seek, if I take the time to reach out, I can build that bridge between my world and theirs. I can reach down into that river and take out what I need to get through this world. Bridges from my time to your time, as my elders from their time to my time. And we all put into the river and we let it go, and it flows away from us and away from us until it no longer has our name, our identity. It has its own utility, its own use, and people will take what they need and make it part of their lives. Bridges. 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 They sometimes swell at length. They sometimes swell at length. The past didn't go anywhere. The past didn't go anywhere. The past didn't go anywhere. Did it? Let me tell you a story.
I was invited to the State Young Writers Conference out at Cheney, which is at Eastern Washington University. And I did want to embarrass my son, you know. And I was going to behave myself because I had to live there then. It was a chore. But I got on the stage. It was an enormous auditorium. There are 2,700 young faces out there, none of them with any prospects anybody could detect. And off to the side of the stage was the suit and tie crowd, the people from the school district and the principals, and the main speaker following me was from the Chamber of Commerce. Well, something inside of me snapped. And I got to the microphone, and I looked out over that multitude of faces, and I said something to the effect of, "You're about to be told one more time that you're America's most valuable natural resource. Have you seen what they do to valuable natural resources? Have you seen a strip mine? Have you seen a clear cut in the forest? Have you seen a polluted river? Don't ever let them call you a valuable natural resource. They're going to strip mine your soul. They're going to clear cut your best thoughts for the sake of profit unless you learn to resist. Because the profit system follows the path of least resistance. And following the path of least resistance is what makes the river crooked." Well, there was great gnashing of teeth and rending of garments. Mine. I was born to the door, screaming epithets over my shoulder, something to the effect of, "Make a break for it, kids! Flee to the wilderness!" The one within, if you can find it. Well, I wrote them a nice letter, though, as I oozed out of the state, headed for Nevada City. I sent it to their little literary magazine. I respect kids. I love especially little kids. Little kids are assholes. But they're their own assholes. See, it's when you grow up and be somebody else's asshole. We're all in trouble. You're like bankers and B-52 pilots.
Rather abrupt ending there. That song is called Natural Resources. Before that, we had Bridges, both of those tunes from the late Utah Phillips. And Ani DiFranco plays some of the guitar behind that, which is not obvious, but that's kind of cool. So that's it for this week. We're getting some nice weather now, and seems like maybe we're getting on top of this pandemic thing, more or less, maybe. There's big money involved, so actually you can't believe a word anyone says about any of this stuff, but we will shuffle through. So I love being here every week. I hope you love having me every week. And please keep in mind that the views expressed on the Thunderbolt are those of the show's host and do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station or anyone associated with this radio station. The Thunderbolt website is dana98501.wordpress.com. 98501 is the downtown Olympia zip code, if that helps you remember that. And you can contribute to the Thunderbolt cause at patreon.com/thethunderbolt. Glad you joined us this week. We hope to see you next week. And in the meanwhile...
Thank you very much.